Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Mem. We are holding on daf Lamed Tes on the base. We are at about five lines from the end of the page. B'minchasa dita anisa. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an anonymous wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, called the Basimcha La Shalom, and also by my aunt and uncle, by Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, in honor of the yard site of Aunt Jeanette's mother, Shifra Tzipora Bas Chaim Shmuel. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to do, we stopped right in the middle of something yesterday. We were going through the different psukim that might be recited during Birchas Kohanim by the Am during the Birchas Kohanim to show that they're grateful for the brachos that they are receiving. And so in different contexts, you say different psukim. So we're going to continue to discuss a few other contexts within which we might say different psukim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss three stories of the anivus of Rabbi Avohu, but how even so, Rabbi Avohu's anivus paled in comparison to the anivus of Rabbi Abba de Min Akko. Then the Gemara is going to get into the text of the nusach of Modim Drabanan, and how each of the Chachamim added something to the Nusach of the Modim that we say while the Shliach Tzibur is saying Modim. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how we know that a person is supposed to have Emas Tzibur, that the Ema of the Tzibur should always be on a person. We're going to have three Rayas that one should have Emas Tzibur. And then we're going to talk a little bit on the bottom of Amanath, going over to Mbeis, about how they responded to Brachos in the Mikdash, that they didn't answer Amen in the Mikdash, but what did they say when they heard a brach in the Mikdash? Then the Mishnah Amud Beis is going to tell us the procedure for the Kohen Gadol's Kriyas HaTorah on Yom HaKippurim, since that's one of the items that we mentioned that has to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh. So it's got nothing to do with Sota, but it has to do with that which is said B'Lashon HaKodesh. So the Mishnah is going to tell us what exactly the procedure was, how he said eight brachos, what was the content of those eight brachos. Then the Gemara is going to talk about being Mechabed, a Talmud in front of his Rebbe, and then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about, the Gemara is going to prove that the Kriya was that the Kohen Gadol did must have been in the Ezras Nashim, because the Mishnah said that he was sitting down and then he stood up only when he received the Sefer Torah. So it sounds like he was in a place that he's allowed to sit down. But if it was in the Azara, in Yeshiva Azara L'Malchus Beis Tov Bilvad, he would not have been allowed to sit in the Azara. So that's going to be the Raya that this must have been going on in the Ezras Nashim. So let's begin. Five lines from the bottom of the page, B'minchasa dita anisa. So we're going through the different psukim that the people say when Birchas Kohanim is happening as a way of showing that they're eager to accept these brachos. So B'minchasa dita anisa, on a mincha of a tainis, where the Kohanim also do Birchas Kohanim, so we should be mevakish rachamim, because that's an eis ratzon, and therefore my amri, what should we say to show that we're being mevakish rachamim at an eis ratzon like that? So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, we say the following psukim from Sefer Yirmiyahu: Im avoneinu anu vanu Hashem asei l'man shemecha mikveh Yisrael Moshe yobei tzar lametia keger be'aretz v'chulei korach notelalun lametia ki'ish nitam ki gibor lo yichaloshia. And we continue the pasuk v'atabik beinu Hashem shem chalein nikral tanichenu, meaning so we say these psukim at a particular eis ratzon. That's what Tosfos points out in Dibra Maskul Im, that this is that it's an eis tzara, and that's why we're fasting. I mean, it's mincha of a tainus, it's only a tainus because it's an eis tzara, so that's why they were matir to be mevakish rachamim during the Birchas Kohanim, because that's a particular time of an eis ratzon. How do I know Birchas Kohanim is a particular time of eis ratzon where you have Hashem's ear a little bit more? Because the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Hayam and Beis, it's actually a little surprising that in this is the sugya of Birchas Kohanim, and this idea of what the Gemara in Brachas says does not come up in Birchas Kohanim, and pretty much for Yisraelim, it's our entire experience of Birchas Kohanim, that the Gemara Bracha says that someone who is roeh chalom ve'ini yodea ma ra'a, if a person had a dream and he doesn't know what he saw in the dream, whether it's bad or good, so you should be mevakish rachim beis nesias kapayim. If you're not a kohen, that's your experience of Birchas Kohanim. Like that's what you said, that's your part in Birchas Kohanim. So you learn through the whole sugya of Birchas Kohanim. It never mentions that, but that's a Gemara in Brachos. But what you do see over there is that it's neis ratzon, that that's a time that you have something that might portend something awful. So dafka during Birchas Kohanim, that's when you daven for such a thing. Now, we only do Birchas Kohanim at Mincha on a tiny seabor. That's what we're saying, b'minchas d'tanisa. Mincha of any other day, we're not no se kapav. And the reason for that is because there's a chashash shichrus. Whenever there was an opportunity to have a meal prior to birchas kohanim, we don't do birchas kohanim, because if there's shichrus, then you're not allowed to do birchas kohanim. But a tainis, you know that nobody's been eating all day, and therefore you could do birchas kohanim. So Tosas raises the question that in Masechas Tainis, the Gemara says, like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara, the Tosas over in Dibra Maschul b'minchas, raises the question that the Gemara in Tainus says that, like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that you're not nosei kapav even by mincha of Tainus, because we're afraid that people are going to confuse that with mincha of Shar Yemos Hashana, that people aren't going to know to distinguish properly between a Tainus and other days of the year. So how come we're assuming that on a Tainus we are doing Birchas Kohanim? So Tosas has two answers. Either that our Gemara is not la halacha, we're assuming like the Shita that there is Nesias Kapayim Mincha v'Tainus, but in Enochinami we pass like the Gemara in Tainus that there isn't. Or our Gemara is assuming yes la halacha, according to the maskana of the Gemara over there, that even la, even though the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, but nevertheless the Kohanim are knowing bizman hazeh to do Nesias Kapayim and Mincha v'Tainus, because the Tainios they were mispalel mincha samuch l'shkias hachama, and that's more similar to Tfilas Ne'ila, so you could be no se kapav. Whereas on the rest of the day they weren't mispalel mincha so late in the day, they were mispalel mincha earlier in the day, and that's when we say that you're not supposed to do Birchas Kohanim at a Tainus. It all depends on the timing of Mincha. Says the Gemara further, B'ni'ila d'yom et Kippuri, now on the top of Mem Amud Aleph, so in the final context of Ni'ila of Yom Kippur, Tosfos points out, why do we only say Ni'ila of Yom Kippur? They would say Ni'ila on other Tainios as well. The Gemara in Tainus of Chavav says by other Tainios they would also say Ni'ila. So the Ritva says, yeah, the Gemara over here when it says Ni'ila d'yom et Kippuri, it just means Ni'ila of Tainios. But in Achinami, it just happens to give the example of Yom Kippur. So when you are when Birchas Kohanim is being recited at Ni'ila, which psukim should the Am be saying? My Omar, what does the Tzibur say? Amar Zutra, Vamila Masisa Tana, Hine Kichen Yivarach Gavir, Yirei Hashem Yivarach Hashem Yitzion, Rebbe Tuv Yerushalayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha, Urei Vanim Levanecha, Shalom Al Yisrael. Heichan Omran, so says Gemara, when does the Tzibur say these psukim? Rav Yosef Omar, Bein Kol Bracha U'Bracha, between each pasuk of Birchas Kohanim, meaning after the word, V'yishmerecha, after the word, V'chunecha, and after the Shalom, between each bracha, after each bracha, they say another one of these psukim, because in each instance, we identified three psukim to say. Oh, so three psukim correspond to the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim. Rav Sheshes Amar, no, Baskar is Hashem. They say it at the time that the Kohanim mentioned the Shem Hashem within the bracha, not at the end of each pasuk. Pligiba Rav Mari v'Rav Zvid. There is a machlokes Rav Mari and Rav Zvid. Chadamar psuka lekabel psuka. It's one pasuk connected another pasuk. That when the Kohanim would say the first bracha v'Yirach Hashem Yishmerecha, the Am would say the first pasuk of the three psukim, and after the second bracha they'd say the second pasuk. After the third bracha they'd say the third pasuk. V'chadamar al kol psuka amrulu lekulu. On all of the, on every pasuk of Birchas Kohanim, they would say all three psukim, meaning they would repeat all three psukim three times. Not that it was one connected one, but that with each pasuk of Birchas Kohanim, they would say all three of these psukim. Now, do we do this? Anyone who says these psukim outside of the Beis HaMikdash is mistaken. Tosfos writes that there's an isser to say it begvulin. That's why Tosfos asks, how could we say the tefillah about the chalom if you're not allowed to say other things? So Tosfos says, no, the tefillah for the chalom is a chashash sakana, meaning when a person sees a dream that might mean something terrible, so unless you're mate of that chalom, so that could be a sakana for the person. So sakana sefash is docha kala tarakula. So even though it's really terrible, you're not supposed to be saying other things when the Kohanim are trying to be mevarich you, but you have no choice. It's a sakana when it comes to a chalom. But from Rashi, it sounds like there's no real isra to say a begvulin. It's just that they were not misakin to say it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the Minchas Sota points out, that that's a machlok. It's Rashi and Tosos, that Tosos holds that it's usher to say these psukim begvulin, and Rashi holds it's just that they were never misaking to say it begvulin. However, in the Torah Saknos and the Darkei David, they say that even according to Rashi, since there's no need to say these psukim begvulin, mimela there's nisser, because anything that's going to distract your attention from listening to the Birchas Kohanim is going to be an nisser. The Kohanim are giving you a bracha. The default is you have to listen. You have to listen to the bracha. If there's a really good reason not to be listening, so then it's up for discussion. But the default has to be that you have to be listening. listening. Amar Rav Chanina Bar Papa. So Rav Chanina Bar Papa says, even in the Mikdash, you don't necessarily say these psukim. Teda, the Mikdash Nami Lomi Bailim Imrenu. Klumi Yishchevich and Varchnos of Inamazin. It's such chutzpah. You're getting a bracha and you're not listening to the bracha. You're instead reciting these psukim. He says, I reject the whole idea of reciting these psukim. And a third opinion, Amar Rabbi Ach Bar Chanina, he said you should say these psukim even begvulin, even though the Brix Kohanim is not b'shem amiyuchad. Teida the begvulin nami mi by limerminu because klum yeshavet shem varch nosa ve'in masbir panim. Can an eved receive a bracha and not show that the bracha is chashuv to him and that he's interested in the bracha and that he's trying to reciprocate in some way? So you should say these psukim as a way of being masbir panim to he who is giving you the bracha. Amir Rav Minaluhu, Rabbi Avo says, so I used to be knowing to say these psukim by Brix Kohanim. Once I saw that Rabbi Abba Dominako didn't say these psukim, and anami lo aminulu, so I didn't say these psukim either. So three opinions. One opinion is that we only say b'mikdash not b'gvulin. Second opinion is we don't even say b'mikdash. And third opinion is that we even say b'gvulin. As far as the Maisa Rav, so Rabbi Avo used to say it, but he changed his mind when he saw Maisa Rav that Rabbi Abba Dominako didn't say it. And we should just know of Rabbi Avo's relationship with Rabbi Abba Dominako was as follows. Rabbi Avo says, I used to think I'm a pretty humble guy. Once I saw Rabbi Abba Dominako that his level of anivus was so off the charts that when he would give a shir, so he couldn't project his voice so much, so they had someone who served as a microphone, a guy who had a louder voice. So he would say one svara, the guy who would project his voice would say a totally different svara, and lo kapit, he didn't get upset at the guy at all. What a nivus that he had. So amina lav anvasnasa ana. I said, I'm not an anav in comparison to him. Now, the more famous example in the Sechah Sota of someone claiming, you know, I'm a pretty big anav, comes much later. Rav Yosef says, the altisni anav dika anav. But here's another example that he says, that Rabbi Avos says, I'm a pretty humble guy, but, you know, I just realized that there's an even higher level of humility. So Ben Yoyada writes that he never actually said that. He never actually said that I'm a humble guy. He didn't go around telling everybody. He's saying that in his heart, he was thinking that he had gotten to a particular madrega, and then he realized how much higher a madrega there is to get to. Meaning, if before he experienced the anivus of Rabbi Abba Dominako, he was going around saying, "I've got it. I'm humble. I did. You know, I've achieved it." That would be bad. Once Rabbi Abba Dominako had already once he already had that exposure to Rabbi Avdim Menachem, it's not a lack of anivus to say, I used to think I knew what humility was, and I thought, and I'm still not there, because it's he had such a different madrega of anivus. The other explanation Ben Yoyada says is that it's not gaiva, because he was just trying to say that by nature I'm just a humble person. I'm just not an attention seeker. That's not my nature. It's not anything that I did. But then I realized that there's an avoda to be done as far as anivus to get to an even higher madrega. It is a little bit troubling. The Achronim are bothered. Is this really humility? Where Rabbi Avad Menachem did? He's saying a shir. He gives a svara. The other guy is saying a different svara. You're not supposed to be an anav in that kind of, you know, in Orach HaSadikim, he goes through the bad side of anivus. You know, we discussed back on Daf Hey, the Shminis to Bishminis that a person is supposed to have. Now, it's not often quoted that on Daf Hey there was another opinion that said, lo minei velo miktasei, not even a Shminis to Bishminis. You shouldn't have anything. But we normally assume a Shminis to Bishminis. Where does that Shminis to Bishminis come out? When it comes to the Kavanah Torah, when it comes to the Kavanah of the Ribon Shalom, you're saying the real svara, someone else is going to give a different svara. You have to be makvid about such a thing. So the Marsha understands that if the reason that he really should have been upset about it, if the svara the other guy was saying was bad, but it could be the svara the other guy was saying was really good. So if it was a really good svara, then he doesn't have to get so upset about it. So says Gemara, okay, so Rabbi Avo always thought that he had achieved anivus. Mayan Vasnusid Rabbi Avo. Where do we find that Rabbi Avo himself was an anav that he said that now I've learned a whole new madrega of anivus? So three stories. Damali debitu da'amora, da'amori d'Rabbi Avo, debite de Rabbi Avo. The wife of Rabbi Avo's microphone, Rabbi Avo's meturgeman, said to Rabbi Avo's wife, Hadidan lo tzarech le'le didach. You know, my husband, even though he works as your husband's assistant, he doesn't really need your husband. He's a bigger Talmud Chacham than your husband. The reason he bends down and pretends that he's listening to him before he goes and he says the shir, he's just such a bal derech eretz that he's trying to show cover to your husband, even though my husband's even greater than your husband. So Rabbi Avo's wife, Mrs. Avo, came home and she said, you're not going to believe what your assistant's wife is saying, that she thinks that her husband is everything and that you're a nobody. So at the end of the day, Torah is being taught. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is being taught. Everyone's becoming more educated. Hashem is therefore being praised and appreciated. Who cares whether I get the credit or the other guy gets the credit? That's fine. The point is that the goal is to be to show the cover to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's really irrelevant who's going to get the credit for it. So that's a sign of great anivus. Visu and another mice of the anivus of Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo inu Rabbanan alel mimni bereshe. Rabbi Avo was appointed to be the Rosh Hashiva, but kibin dechazia the Rabbi Abba de Menako the nefisha le balichovos. But he saw that Rabbi Abba de Menako was very poor and he had a lot of chovos. He owed a lot of people money. Samaluhu ikaraba. So Rabbi Avo turned down the job as Rosh Hashiva and said, "There's a greater chacham than me who deserves to be Rosh Hashiva," and that's Rabbi Abba de Menako. And the reason he said that was because when they appointed someone as Rosh Hashiva, they would give him all sorts of gifts and they would make him wealthy and they would take care of his chovos. They would take care of his needs. So he figured that why should I? That's what they did with the Kohen Gadol also. The Gemara in Yuma says Gadlu Mishal Achiv, that it's a responsibility of the tzibur that they're making him the Rosh Hashiva, they're making him the Kohen Gadol to give him all these things. So he said, I don't need it so much. So that's a tremendous anivus that he was going to get this position of kavod, of being a Rosh Hashiva. Plus, apparently, he came with a lot of money. He turned down the kavod, he turned down the money because there's someone else who needed it more. And then the third definition of the third story of anivus, Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba iklulu asra. Both Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba arrived in the same town at the same time. Right? Rabbi Avo was invited to be a scholar in residence somewhere. Turns out, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was a scholar in residence in the same town. That sometimes happens. You travel somewhere and like there's another huge scholar in residence or something. So where's everyone going to go? So Rabbi Avo darsh bagadita. So Rabbi Avo said a shir in agada. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba darsh b'shmaita. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said a shir in halacha. Shavku kuli amal Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba vazel gabid Rabbi Avo. Everyone went to the agadita shir. The halacha shir is hard. The agadita shir is geshmak. You know, he tells stories and he goes, hey, it's very nice. So chalash daite. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was very upset that no one came to his shir. It was empty. So Malay. So Rabbi Avo tried to calm him down by saying, no, the fact that everyone left your drasha to come to my drasha is not because they think I'm greater than you or that my Torah is greater than your Torah. I'll give you a very simple mashal of why it is. Imagine two merchants come to town. One is selling very expensive diamonds, and the other one is selling these little tchatchkalach that cost nothing. Who gets more customers? Obviously, the people that are selling cheap things get more customers. People that are selling diamonds, only major ashirim can afford to even buy it. So over here also, Dvar Halacha that you're darshaning in is like the Avanim Tovos. Not everybody is on a madrega where they're able to learn it. It has a certain depth to it. It requires a great amount of Yishuv Hadas, as opposed to Divrei Agada, which are more kal, they're easier to understand, they're moshech a person's life. So people are going to go to that drasha. But the fact that you had a smaller crowd shows what a maila your shir is, that your shir was greater than my shir, the fact that you had a smaller crowd. So Rashi writes, Lahafis Daito Amarkein, meaning, should we view that as like a maila? Meaning, if let's say you have two Rebbeim in Yeshiva, and one of them, all the Talmidim want to go to his shir, and the other one, no one wants to go to his shir. Should you say, the one that no one wants to go to his shir, it must be that he's a much better Rebbe, right? Is that, meaning, is that correct? Is the assessment correct? So Rashi says, no. He was just saying that to calm him down. So the Etz Yosef explains that you can't say that al derech ha'emes, that the maila of halacha is greater than the maila of agada, because the Sifri in Parshas Eikev says that if you want want to really have a knowledge of Misha Amar Vahaya Olam, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to learn Agada, because that comes to a Hakara, brings you to a Hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just, he's saying, it happens to be that it's easier to learn Divrei Agada, but the truth is that it's not less important to learn Divrei Agada. That's how the Etz Yosef says. Milchasoti says that when Rashi says that he only said it loves his Daito, it's not because it's not true. It is true. It is true that Halacha is more important than Agada, that the Tzibur is Nimshach more to Agada than they are to Halacha. But that wasn't the real reason. That's Lavas Daito Amar Kein, is that may be true, what he said may be true, but that wasn't the real reason that people came to his shir and not the other shir. Because no one knew before coming to shir what each one was going to talk about. They just saw the names, so they went to the one that they thought they'd be more interested in hearing, which very often is the way that people choose. It's not that, you know, they always, whenever you speak, so exactly what the topic is, how can we advertise the topic? I don't think anyone looks at the topic. I don't think anyone cares. Unless it's like a very unique thing, I don't think anyone cares about the topic. They come if there's a speaker that they want to hear, if there's a Talmud Chacham that they want to hear, so they're going to go hear that Talmud Chacham. So anyway, so that's why Rashi says that love is Daito Amar Kein. So Kol Yom Avamalva Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, the Rabbi Avo Adush Bize. Typically, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba would escort Rabbi Avo to his place of lodging. Mishum Yakra to Beit Kesar, as we have shown cover to the Beit Kesar, because Rabbi Avo was a Makur of Lamalchus. So Ahu Yoma, but that day that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was all upset and he felt dejected and no one came to the shir, so Alve Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Adush Bize. Rabbi Avo showed extra cover to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba to escort him to where he was staying. And with all of that effort to try to show covered lo itosav daiti minay, he still didn't work. He didn't calm down. The Bach writes in Simon Reish Sadi that the reason Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was not mispayis is because Rabbi Avo did against the takan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was misakein to darshan and shabbosos and yom tovim in dinim and halachos, and he darshan b'divrei agada, so he did against the takan of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he could be as nice to me as you want, but what he did was the wrong thing. The fact that you tried to gather the crowds by saying that which you thought they wanted to hear, and apparently they did want to hear, that's no excuse. You're not supposed to, you have to do what you're supposed to do, which is to teach the Divrei Halacha. The Netziv explains in Merom Esada that the reason Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was not pacified was because the mashal is not doma to the nimshal. That if someone sells avanim tovos, even if there was no one else there to sell the cheap stuff, he still wouldn't get too many customers, because how many people could afford avanim tovos? But Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba knew that had Rabbi Avo not been there, then everyone would have come for the halacha shir. So it's not a good mashal. So it still didn't satisfy him. Okay, so now the Gemara says we had mentioned the psukim that the Kal says by Birchas Kohanim. So we're going to now go through a different time where the Shliach Tzibur is saying something and the whole Tzibur is saying something else. So Bizman Shliach Tzibur Omer Modim, when the Shliach Tzibur is saying Modim in Chazar Sashatz, Ha'am Mahim Omrim. What nusach does the Am say? So there's a famous comment of the Abu Draham. That the Am says anything. Maybe you just sit there quietly and you listen like you do to the rest of, I mean, at least on the books, as we're supposed to do, listen to the rest of Chazar Sashat. So Meir Chitesi, the person is supposed to be saying anything. So Abu Draham says that's what Hoda'a is. Hoda'a can never be done through a Shliach. When one is giving thank you, when one is saying giving gratitude, that has to be done in a more direct way. So one has to be saying something. The question is, what is the content of that Hoda'a? Some are Rav. Rav says what we should say is modim anachnu l'cha Hashem Elokeinu al sha'anu modim lach. We're grateful that we're grateful. So what does that mean? We're grateful that we're grateful. So Rashi writes, we're grateful that you give us a desire to want to be grateful to you, to have a relationship to you, to want to be grateful to you. The Rush writes that you were mezaka us from among all of the other umos to be close enough to you to want to offer hoda'a. In the Tshuvas Rimigash, he says, no, the al is a lashon of tosefes, that we're saying modim anachnu l'cha extra hoda'os in addition to al sha'anu modim lach during our tefillah, that we're grateful, beyond the gratitude we've already expressed in our silent Shmoneh Esrei. We have extra gratitude to express. And that's why we're saying something new over here and not just listening to the Shliach Tzibur. So that's what we say. Shmuel says, no, you should say, Elokei Kol Basar, Al Sha'anu Madum Lach. Rabbi Simai Omer, Yotzer Niyosa Bereshis, Al Sha'anu Madum Lach. Nardai Amri Mishmei, to Rabbi Simai, Brach Tzvot Dol Shumcha Agadol, Al Sha'anu Mekiyam Tanu, Al Sha'anu Madum Lach. Rabbi Achavar Yaakov, Messiah Bahachi, he would conclude it with, Kein Techayenu, Schadenu, Skamtenu, Sesav, Kuliasenu, Lchatsus, Kachcha, Lishmor, Kukecha, Vlasus, Sonechalov, Blev Shalim, Al Sha'anu Madum Lach. I'm Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, wow, those are all such great ideas. Hilchach Neminu Lekulu. So we should say all of those things. That's what the Beis Yosef writes in Siman Kuf Chav Zayin, that the reason it's called Modim Derabanan was because all the rabbis got together to put together the Nusach. It's not because it's Derabanan versus Doraisa. It's all the Rabbanan. But it was a Nusach that was compiled by various Rabbanan. It's interesting, Rav Papa is the one that says Hilchach Neminu Lekulu. That's what the Ha'ara that's made by Rav Eliashiv, that on the Siyum Masechta, we always identified that all the children of Rav Papa, who were all big Talmidei Chachamim, from Bar Papa Achram, Bar Papa Rav, from Bar Papa Zitz, from Bar Papa, all the Bar Papas. So Rav Yashu points out, why is it that Rav Papa was zochet to have so many children who were Talmidei Chachamim? What did he do different than everybody else? So you can't say because he was a Talmidei Chachamim. Every Amor was a Talmidei Chachamim. No, but you find the Midah of Rav Papa is when other Talmidei Chachamim said something, he was so in love with the words of all the Talmidei Chachamim that he wanted to incorporate all of it. He wanted to, so someone who has such covenant for other Talmidei Chachamim, clearly the atmosphere in his house is going to be such that his children will say, the greatest thing you could be is a Talmud Chacham. So they're all going to want to be Talmidei Chachamim. So that's why Rav Papa was up, not because he was a Talmud Chacham, but because he had such kavod for a Talmidei Chachamim. That's I took my Talmidim to Rav Aaron Kahn last week, and he said, you'll find in all of Mishnah Torah, the Rambam never uses the term Talmud Chacham. He only uses the term Talmud Chachamim. He says, because while a person should have a Rebbe Mufak, and you should have a certain mahalich in life, that you, but a person should be a Talmud of Chachamim. You should always try to aspire to learn from all sorts of different people. So now we get back to Birkas Kohanim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, V'yom te'emas tzibur alecha. A person should always have a certain sense of ema, a fear, a trepidation of the tzibur. Three rayas. Number one, Shari Kohanim pleim klapei am v'achareim klapei shechina. The Kohanim turn their back on the shechina in the heichal in order to face the am. So that's a sense of emas tzibur. And the Kohanim, who are more chashuv than the am, have to have that emas tzibur. So for sure, the rest of us have to have a certain sense of emas tzibur. Second rayah of Nachum Amar Mehacha. We learn it from the following in Divrei Yamim. Vayakom David HaMelech al Raglov. Vayomer Shmuuni Achai V'Yami. So what does it mean? Im Achai Lama Ami. V'Im Ami Lama Achai. Which is it? Is it my brothers or is it my nation? So Amar Rav Lazar. Amar Lem David Yisrael. Im Atem Shomen Li. If you're going to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, Achai Atem. Then you are my brothers. If you do what you're supposed to do. V'Im Lav. And if you don't give donations to the Beis HaMikdash, Ami Atem V'Ani Rodes Chemakal. Then I'm the king and you're the nation and I'm going to subjugate you to make sure that you do what you have to do. That's how Rashi understands. So Rashi understands that the raya is that emas tzibur alecha is that he was willing to refer to them as achai, meaning that if they're doing everything, then he's willing to call them equals, even though they weren't equals. David was a melech, so you see that he had a certain sense of emas tzibur. The Marsha doesn't like that interpretation. The Marsha says that no, the emas tzibur, the raya of Nachman, is the fact that he stood up at the beginning. It's Vayakom David HaMelech al Raglav. Right there. It's not about the content of his speech. It's just the fact that when he wanted to speak to them, he stood up. That shows a certain sense of emes tzibur. It's just once recorded at the beginning of the pasuk. So we quote the rest of the pasuk and we go through an interpretation of why he calls them Achai V'Ami, but that's not really what the limud is from. A third possibility of how I know you have to have emes tzibur. Rabbanan Ami Mehacha. Dein Kohen Rashon Lalos B'Sandalei and Leduchan. That we learn in the Braisa, the Bach adds in the Girsa, Detan Rabbanan, that we learn in the Braisa that Kohanim are not allowed to wear their shoes when they go up to the Duchan. This is one of the nine takanos that we have in Masechta Rosh Hashanah of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. My time, why did he make such a takana? lav mishum kavod tzibur? Isn't it because of the kavod tzibur that when the kohanim lift up their hands, so their clothing is going to lift up a little bit, everyone's going to be able to see their shoes, and it's not kavod tzibur, everyone's going to see the mud on their shoes, they're coming in from the fields and whatever, so it's not proper kavod tzibur, and don't you see from there that you have to have emes tzibur? So Amar Ravashi, lo. No, that's not the reason. Hasam shem nifskol ritzu b'san dolo, the concern over there is that the reason that Cohen doesn't wear shoes is because there's a fear that that one of the straps of his shoes may come undone and he's going to have to leave the duchan to go down and to tie it. So Amri ben Grusha ben Chalutza, and everyone's going to say that he's a ben Grusha ben Chalutza, that there must be some psul in him, and that's why he went down to tie it. So that's the real reason. Now we paskin both reasons, meaning we assume in the end of the day that we don't really reject the first reason. It's just that it wasn't a raya berura that you have to have emes tzibur alecha. But once we know anyway from the other two reasons you have to have emes tzibur alecha, so we assume that that this also is because of emes tzibur alecha. There is an interesting thing in certain Syrian shuls, they keep their shoes on when they do birchas kohanim. Someone once asked me if he's davening in a Syrian shul and they're doing birchas kohanim. So his first question is, should I do birchas kohanim even though I'm not Syrian, I'm not Sephardi, and it's in chutz laretz? So the answer is yes, meaning if you're in, you got to do. So yeah. But the second question was, should I keep my shoes on during birchas kohanim? I mean, that's really against the halacha. The kohanim are supposed to take off their shoes during birchas kohanim. Or they had shailas with COVID, with the outdoor minyanim. So the grass was very wet, and kohanim weren't so thrilled about taking off their shoes and stepping on wet grass. So is there any heter to keep the shoes on? So in the Chuvus Yafal Alev, in the Yafal Alev, in Simukuv Chavches, in Shulchan Aruch, in Os Chavtes, he points out that according to both reasons, if you're not on the Duchan, it should be fine. Because it's only when you're Olo L'Duchan, so it looks bad that you're coming off of the Duchan, and when you're Olo L'Duchan, then people will be able to see your feet. But if you're off down on the floor level, people aren't going to be able to see your feet anyway. So Rav Avadia Yosef quotes a whole bunch of different Sephardic poskim who pretty much agree to that. Problem is, in the Tshuvas Beis Yehuda, he points out that Kohanim are not allowed to say Birchas Kohanim unless they're on the Duchan, that they really do need to be on the Duchan when they say Birchas Kohanim. So Rav Avadia says, man, not necessarily. There's a Tshuvas Radvaz that says that if it's a Shas HaChak, then you don't need to be on the Duchan. The Kohen just asked me, if there's no room on the stage, can he just like go off the stage and do Birchas Kohanim not on the stage? So that's really this Machlokas. Radvaz, the Tshuvas Beis Yehuda says, no, find room, squeeze in. Whereas the Radvaz says, if it's a Shas HaChak and there's just not enough room, so then you're allowed to go off the stage. Clearly the preference though is to be on the Duchan, right? We call it Duchaning because it's on the Duchan, so that seems to be the preference. Kavachayim says it's also a lo plug rabbanon, that even if the reasons don't apply, it's a lo plug that you're supposed to take off your shoes for birchas kohanim. So Rav Avadia Yosef says, look, there are certain communities that have their minhagim or whatever, so you're not going to yell as long as they're not on the duchan. You can't get upset at them. But really, if you're deciding what to do, you have to take off your shoes for birchas kohanim, even if your shoes don't have laces or whatever else. I'm told that embroiderers have like special slippers for the Kohanim to wear when they do Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so they have their minhag, but that's not the dafka not wearing leather shoes with laces. Leather shoes with laces is certainly something that one should not do. Again, unless you're in that particular segment of the Syrian community where they're not all the duchan and they do it that way. Okay, so now the Gemara says vaiter now uba mikdash bracha achas. Now we had said that there's a difference between Birchas Kohanim begvulin and Birchas Kohanim in the mikdash, that in the Gvulin we say three different brachos, and Migdash is one bracha. So kol kach lama, why is there such a difference? We don't separate the psukim with an amen in the Migdash, because you never say amen in the Migdash. How do I know you don't say amen in the Migdash? In Amar, because the pasuk says, kumu brachas Hashem Elokeichem min ha'olam ad ha'olam. So we learn that each bracha that they're mivarech in the Migdash, they would say with this nusach, meaning at the end of the bracha of Magin Avram, for example, they would say, baruch Hashem Elokeichem Magen Avraham. By Mechayim Esim also, this whole nusach that they would say incorporated into the bracha. Uminayin shall call bracha bracha tihila. How do I know that every bracha in the Mikdash, instead of answering amen, they would give a whole praise of Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Ve'ed, Shenemar V'yivarchu Shem Kvodecha, that after the Mevarich says the bracha, the Tzibur is Mevarich Shem Kvodecha. How is the Tzibur Mevarich Shem Kvodecha? By saying Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Olam Ve'ed. Umrama kol bracha utihila. And the end of the pasuk teaches us that you shouldn't just say at the end of each bracha one time baruch shem, but rather al kol, meaning at the end of all the brachas baruch shem, but rather al kol bracha ubracha tein latila. We learn from that part of the pasuk that for every bracha you say a separate baruch shem v'machzal yom ved. It's not just you wait till all the brachas are finished and you say it once. Each and every bracha, that's how they would respond, but they would not respond with amen. And therefore, they didn't have an Amein B'Mikdash to separate the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is going to discuss the Kohen Gadol's Kriyas HaTorah and Yom HaKippurim. And again, the Shaychus over here is simply because it's one of those items that we had listed that has to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh. So Birchas Kohen Gadol Ketzad. How would it work? What would they do? So Chazan HaKnesses, the Shamash that was the one who would take care of the basic needs of the basic of the Beis HaKnesses, he would take down the curtains from the Aron and things like that. Notel Sefer Torah, he would take the Sefer Torah from its place from Notel the Rosh HaKnesses. He would give it to the Rosh HaKnesses. Rosh HaKnesses was the one that was in charge of giving out the Kibudim. For Rosh HaKnesses, Notel the Sagan. And the Rosh HaKnesses would give it to the Sagan. That was the Sagan Kohen Gadol who would take over if anything happened to the Kohen Gadol. Vaskan, Notel the Kohen Gadol. And then the Sagan would pass it to the Kohen Gadol himself. The Kohen Gadol, Omed. And then the Kohen Gadol would stand up, which makes it sound like up until that time, he was sitting down. The kasha that the Dvar Shal raises is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Gimel says that as soon as the Sefer Torah starts moving, you have to stand up. That if you even have to stand for Talmud Chacham, for sure you have to stand for the Torah itself. So, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, that you should stand from the Sefer Torah. As soon as you see that it's moving, you have to stand for the Sefer Torah. So how could it be that the Kohen Gadol would only stand up once it arrived here? It was already moving. It was already going from one to the other. So maybe you could say, no, he had stood up early. We just weren't talking about the Kohen Gadol till now. So now we just mentioned that the Kohen Gadol is Omed. So anyway, he stands up, Umekabel, and he receives the Sefer Torah from the Sagan, Vikori, and he reads the Avod of Yom HaKippurim from Achremos and Va'achba Osar, and you know, in Parshas Emor, last week's Parsha, the Yom coincidence, and then he's Gol Sefer Torah Menich B'chiko, and after he reads from Achremos and from Emor, he rolls up the Sefer Torah and he holds it, Va'omer, and he says, Yosem Mashakris Lefnechem Kosov Kan, that more than I've read is actually written here. I'm not putting it away because there's nothing, because the rest of the Parshios are not written here. It's just that it would be too much of a Tircha de Tzibura to then roll it to Parshas Pinchas. So then you would read Uba Asar, Vasal Chodeshvi, which is in Parshas Shabuchum Shabikudim, which is in Parshas Pinchas, and Kori Al Peh. But he would read that Bal Peh. He wouldn't read it from the Torah because it would have been too much of a Tircha de Tzibura. Rishon Mask, but Dvarim Shemchsavi Atarashi Lomrin Bal Peh. You're not allowed to say these things Bal Peh. So Tos Yishonim and Tos Rosh say that that's only Mitzvah Menamuvchar, not to say Dvarim Shemchsav Bal Peh, but it's not Ma'akev. You're allowed to if you need to. The Riva, they quote the Riva, and the Ritva say that that's only things that are Michova Sakriya, but without which a person is Kore Lishinun Bialmo or Derech Shevach Utfila Vahuda'a is not included. And that's what this was. This wasn't a Chovas Kriya, this was more like a Shevach Takonis Baruch. So, Mvarich Lashmona Brachos. And then after the conclusion of the Kriya, he would say eight Brachos. What are the eight Brachos? Ala Torah, the Brach of Hashem Asalan Torah. SMS, Allah Voda, the Brach of Ritzei that we say in Shemon Hasrei, Alho Doya, the Brach of Modin that we say in Shemon Hasrei, Val Mechila Sa'avon, the Brach that we say in Yom Kippur Shemon Hasrei, Avata V'chartanu, where we say, Mochel V'Solech Lavonosenu Lavonos Am Yisrael, and then Allah Migdash, the fifth Brach is Allah Migdash, we say the Brach of Asher Bachar B'Migdash, and Al Yisrael, you say a Brach of Abocher B'Amo Yisrael, and Allah Kohanim, the Bachar B'Zar, and then the eighth bracha is Val Yerushalayim, Vashar Tefillah, and then the rest that they would say was a tefillah that they should be saved from their enemies. So those are the eight brachos. So now we had said that the way the Sefer Torah was passed along was from person to person until it finally got to the Kohen Gadol. Now there is a machlokas amorayim in Maseches Baba Basra whether you're cholik kavod the Talmud b'makom harav, that if the Rebbe is there and the Rebbe's Talmud is your Rebbe, are you allowed to be cholik like my talmidim try to show me kavod when my rebbeim are there? So or do you say no? Go straight to Rav Shechter. You know, you have to go to the Gadol and give him the kavod. You can't give to other people. So it's a machlokas. So Shab Mina cholkin kavod the Talmud b'makom harav. Apparently, you see from here that you can be chalik kavod to the Talmud in the place of the Rebbe, because they would give to the Sagan, and the Sagan was the Talmud of the Kohen Gadol. So Amar Abaye, Kula Mishum Kavodah to Kohen Gadol, who, no, they did this whole thing of passing from one to the next, all to show, look how many madrigas up till you get to the Kohen Gadol, till you get to the. So it was all for the cover of the Kohen Gadol. It wasn't as a way of showing cover to the Sagan. They were showing that we're going mi madrega the madrega until you finally arrive at the madrega of the Kohen Gadol. So that's all considered part of the cover of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol omer mekabel v'korei. So we said the Kohen Gadol stands up and he's mekabel the Sefer Torah and he's korei. Omer mechal diyoshefu. We're saying he's standing up. Sounds like up until that point he was sitting down. V'amar mar. But don't we learn any yeshiva b'azara l'machu b'sdav bilvad that the only people that are allowed to sit in the azara are people who are descendants of the Malchus Beis David, right? That was the whole split of the Malchus. That's why Yeravim had to build his own place for people to worship because he knew that he wasn't from the Malchus Beis David. If he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, everyone's going to see that he doesn't get to sit in the Azara. It was a big deal. So answers the Gemara, no, this took place, this Kriya didn't take place in the Azara, it took place in the Ezras Nashim. Ezras Nashim, even someone who's not from the Malchus Beis David, is allowed to sit. Okay, that's from tomorrow. We'll pick up with Meisvei at the bottom of the page. Everyone have a great day.